And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your guest announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of TheConjuremanConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Sister Girl of SisterGirlConjure.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us today's topic on predicting timed events in reading. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Wow, it's Papa Newt.
No.
I missed you, honey. I mean, we've had two announcers since you bid us adieu, but thank you so much for coming back and guest announcing. I just love your voice. I really do. It's so you, Papa Newt. It's so you. Well, before we go on to what I've been doing, because it's been quite a while since you've been our announcer, what have you been up to lately? How are things in wonderful Omaha?
You know, we had a storm last week with hurricane-like winds that blew out the power for over 1,000 some people.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That was exciting. But other than that, it's just getting through as we are slowly moving into a better direction with this pandemic. And, you know, things are starting to pick up a lot more than it was a year ago. So that's always nice.
Well, I know that you're going to be presenting the panel discussion at the festival, the Virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and the topic is of your panel and with the co-speakers that you're going to have is overcoming hardships. So a great topic. Tell me, do you know who's lined up for that panel and what's going to be happening there?
Oh gosh, we have Mama E on loss, Mama Virgie on oh my goodness, I don't even have my notes in front of me, but I'm I know that's like heartache. I know we have Angela going to be joining us, and also Brother Ray.
Wow. Okay.
And we're just going to be touching on various topics of such hardships. Mine is going to be focusing, I'll be there, of course. Mine's going to be focusing on, you know, I live with a disability. And even from a spiritual standpoint, sometimes how to navigate even those rough days, those rough times. And we'll talk about that.
Well, I think this is going to be a really interesting panel discussion. And I think people are, you know, coming out and talking about things that are, you know, hardships in their lives. People always think that readers and root workers live some kind of perfect life, but that isn't always true. And it's how we deal with the inevitable difficulties that sort of set us apart from our clients. And some people, when they hit hardship, quit being readers and root workers. They go, I can't do it because I had a hardship. So I'm going to be real interested in this panel, and I think it's just a wonderful discussion. I just want to thank you for leading that panel, and it'll be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I hope you all, you know, join us for this wonderful weekend. It's just going to be a fantastic time. So do go to the HoodooHeritageFestival.com and get your tickets.
Yeah, that's right. Get your tickets. Now, my news of the week is that we finally got the last two books off. Last week, we got one book off. Now we got two more, Down Home Sex Magic and how to use amulets, charms, and talismans in the hoodoo and conjure tradition are both at press. At press, mistakes and
congrats.
All, whatever.
Yay.
They're there now. so we're looking forward to get them out in time for the festival. Now, if you buy tickets to the festival, you will get the fabulous goodie boxes, and in those goodie boxes will be the three new books for the year, Terrors of the Evil Eye Exposed, The Amulets, Charms, and Talismans, and Down Home Sex Magic, and they are included in the price of your ticket. You don't have to buy them extra. They come with your ticket, and they will be delivered by U.S. Postal Mail. My patrons who subscribe to my feed on Patreon have already seen pretty much most of these books, but in random order, just random pages. I see, for instance, that Cousin Joshua is in the chat, and I know Cousin Joshua is one of my patrons. Thank you. And there are others who have borne with me through all of this random typing, and the books are now in a slightly different order than they were seen in the Patreon versions. And but I'm real happy to be done with them. Right now, I'm going back to my other Patreon stream, which is the Mystic Tea Room. And here's just a little heads up. This week, it will be Tea Room Matchbook covers, okay? The fabulous unknown story of Tea Room Matchbook covers. I love my Patreon stream because I can go down any rabbit hole I want to for 1 week. And that's the one I chose to go down this week. Next week, who knows? We'll just go someplace else. It may be about different forms of divination. It may be, who knows? It's whatever it might be about herbs and herb magic. It might be about little-known root workers of the early 20th century. Those are some of the topics that I cover on my Patreon stream. So I'm pretty happy. I finally got a good night's sleep after all of that, 15 weeks of push, push, push. So that's it for me. How are you doing, Conjure Man?
I'm doing quite well. Very excited for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Lots of exciting books, lots of exciting workshops, lots of stuff that people can learn from. So I've sent in all my stuff, and I'm looking forward to see how that comes together. Other than that, I've been, just keeping busy. It is kind of strange living in the moment that we are. Papa Newt, really brilliant. First of all, very surprised to hear Papa Newt because I didn't hear his voice at the, in our little lobby there in the beginning. So that was a wonderful surprise. Welcome back to you, Papa Newt. Love to hear your voice. But it was he brought up something very interesting. He's talking about how we're kind of seeing the pandemic slowly end, right? Or things head in the right direction. And that's so true that we live in this we're in this weird liminal moment where some places in the country, you can really see the end. You kind of look to the future and go, oh, we're almost there. We're right at the end of that tunnel. We can see the light. We can see it all coming to an end. This nightmare that's been a year plus now is coming to an end. But other parts of the country, it's actually getting worse, right? In California, in Los Angeles, we just went back into lockdown, though our sheriff is saying he's not going to enforce that because of this whole Delta variant. And other places are, particularly the red states, we're seeing Florida, for example, just double their COVID. So I think we're going to be living in this real uncomfortable experience of some parts of the country are going to move towards fully opening or look like they're kind of heading out, while other parts of the country who didn't vaccinate, who didn't social distance, who didn't mask up, are going to be stuck in 2020. So this
everything you said is true. And there was a little tagline that swept across my news feed, and Shiva and I have been repeating it to each other: the pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Yes. I think Biden. Biden coined that.
Yeah, they've closed down the San Francisco Bay Area counties. In other words, the nine counties that touch the bay. We've all been remasked up, and we were about to open our shop. And people are saying, "Oh, come on, everything else is open. Why don't you open your shop?" And I've been saying, no, we're waiting till September, till after the festival, because we're shorthanded, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have to work in the shop in order to keep it open, and we don't have enough personnel to serve customers. And boy, am
right.
I glad we didn't, because COVID cases are back up in Sonoma County and all the Bay Area counties. And I don't, you know, we'll wait a little longer. We're just going to wait this out. So
that's it,
you know. It's been really something. So
it has.
Yeah. Also, Contraband, you put out a teaser video for the festival, and Papa Newt, it looks like he has posted it in his wonderful way. He's posted it in the chat log. So if you see that little thing, that is Contraband's teaser video for his promotion for his panel discussion, not panel, excuse me, for his workshop on Defense Against the Dark Arts, which I think is a very cool looking thing. All right, and on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we will have another teaser video. We're going to have one per week, so just stay tuned. Follow AIR at Facebook, and or follow Lucky Mojo, or follow my feed, Catherine Ironwood, or Cat Ironwood. I got two of them. And most of the other members of AIR who are sharing these at Facebook, you can find them, and there'll be links to the YouTube videos. And I believe that on this next Tuesday, it's going to be Papa G's workshop teaser for the Amulet's Charms and Talismans. And Conjure Man says, shout out to Deacon Millett for the editing. That's right. Deacon Millett is behind the scenes editing this stuff very nicely. Okay.
Yeah, it's all his beautiful work.
yeah. He's doing great. All right. So that's it for the catch-up. Now, we're going to have our special guest from AIR, and this is Sister Girl. And so welcome to the show, Sister Girl.
Thanks. Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks. Now, I know that you've been on the show a number of times, but let's just catch people up because there's always new people born and grow up every year. Tell us about yourself, how people can find you, and what your specialties are, Sister Girl, before we get into our topic.
Okay, well, I have a website, and you can I specialize in candle work, and I do tarot reading. And you can find me at www.sistergirlconjure.com. I don't do in-person readings at the moment. I do phone readings. And I'm also on Hoodoo Psychic during the week. And so when the light is on, or you can always send me a call request so I can call you back. I'm right now I'm living in Los Angeles. I was back and forth between Los Angeles and New Orleans, but now I'm in Los Angeles and kind of keeping an eye on this pandemic. I was happy as everybody else was to start moving around again and start getting out into the world. But I even just went on a little vacation. But I found that traveling was people are a little different. Like people are uncertain. People are sort of walking. They're awkward in their social interactions. I think we've been locked up too long. So I'm just hoping that we don't end up in another lockdown, because I think a lot of people might lose it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Everyone said, "Oh, now it's all going to be better." Nope, not quite.
almost.
The pandemic
almost,
of the unvaccinated marches on. Well, we have a topic for today, and as usual, I'm going to introduce it with just a little bit of thought. And then Sister Girl is going to come in and talk. And then Conjure Man and I will pitch in with some ideas, too. And the topic today is timing, how to tell timing, and whether timing can be told in divination. So I'm going to start off with just a real quick statement. Obviously, if you can't tell timing in divination, you shouldn't be divining. And I'm telling that to a number of people, because I've gone to some of these psychic fairs. When I used to read at psychic fairs, and you'd hear these very well-meaning, well, they were just very well-meaning people, both male and female, young and old, well, not so old, young and middle-aged maybe, who would, I could hear them at the next table over saying, oh, well, you know, the trends can be shown, but we can never tell you what time it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even had people try this out on me who were more recent. But since I'm no longer doing psychic fairs, I thought, well, maybe that went the way of the past. No, I've had people say to me, well, you know, when someone comes to me and says they want to know what time something will happen, you know, I have a couple of ways I can walk around that, you know, without ever having to answer their question. And I'm like, what? And they go, you know, I can tell them, like, you know, it's all in your intention. And I'm like, what? You know, or I can tell them it's misty to me. You know, Tarot can't see the future very well. I said, well, then tell them to get astrology. Well, astrology, you know, it costs so much and it's so difficult to do. But, you know, and I'm like, are you people for real? Because for real, that's what people go to a fortune teller for, not for a character analysis, not for, like, you know, you are a strong and active person who has a few faults, including a bad temper. That's not fortune telling. That's just reading you, right? But the person wants to know, how long should I work to get this job before I consider that spell a failure? Now, we did some work on the idea of timing and spell work, and there's a whole page at readersandrootworkers.org just about timing in spell work and how certain kinds of spell work you can kind of work out what your timing is going to be. But timing in divination is even more important because more people get readings than hire root work done. I'd say on a ratio of maybe 10 to 1. For every 10 clients, there's one who wants root work. Maybe it's even more like 20 to 1, depending on what kind of a reader you are. I do a lot of quick readings and very little root work because I don't have time for a lot of root work. But even when I did, it would be maybe 20 to 1. Those people want answers about time. So that's my statement. If you can't do timing at all, or if you believe that divination doesn't do timing, you're not living on the same planet as the rest of us diviners. So that was my statement about it. Now I'm going to turn this over to Sister Girl.
Yeah, that was exactly why I wanted to bring this topic up, because I've always heard, oh, you can't tell timing with tarot, or you can't tell timing with reading, mm-hmm. or you can't. And I was like, well, that's not helpful because I need to know. And so when clients would ask me, they would say, people have been so conditioned. They would say, well, I know you can't tell timing, but do you have an idea? And I said, who said you can't tell timing? Let's look,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as I started doing that, I realized that for me, with the tarot cards, there are certain tarot cards that indicate timing. There are certain suits that indicate timing. And also, if you read... you know, if you throw the cards, and I have a way at the end of a reading, if I get, say, the same number in different piles, that will be an indication to me. Like if I get at the end of the reading in the outcome position, if I get, say, the two of wands, and then I get the two of coins, and then the two of cups, well, that's telling me there's a two in there. Could be 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I find that for me, the coins will indicate weeks. So if someone's asking me, when might I get a job? And I do the reading, and then in the outcome, I just keep throwing cards until I get coins. If I get the eight of coins, that tells me they'll get a job in 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to ask a question. So that was about a job. You were going to count the coin cards, but if it was what if they asked about love? Would you, count the cups?
No. It would be, I would count whatever cards came out. But it depends on which cards come out. If they get two of wands, I would say you should hear within 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months.
I see it. Uh-huh. The number, the pip. Number, basically. I mean, except for that tarot cards don't always have pips. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, and for me, the strength card tells me you're going to have 2 months where you need to be patient, steady. You're mm-hmm. going to have a difficult time, and for a couple of months, it's going to be a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
The tower also says to me 2 months. It says 2 months of things being rocky, up and down, difficult, especially in relationships. And so the Three of Wands tells me that you want action right now, but it's going to be 3 months before it happens, or maybe the third month of the year, perhaps. So there are indications in the cards of time.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that there's a few of these that are pretty well known. Some of the cards in the Rider-Waite deck are obviously seasonal, because you see what's on the card, like the Three of Cups. You could say it's going to be 3 months, but you can also say that there's pumpkins on the ground and grapes, and so that would indicate fall. And so the pips can be the month of the year, you know, from one to 12, or they can be the number of elapsed weeks, elapsed months. And the pictures on the cards, the images on the cards can tell time too. Now, the question is, which do you choose? I usually look at how long the situation's been going and where they're at in their own personal movement. So whether I should judge a card by the season in the art, or whether I should just go by numbers.
Yes.
I'm going to throw in just something quick about tea leaf reading, because if any of you guys have read the book Stranger in the Cup, which I co-wrote with Gregory Lee White, Papa G, there's a whole tradition in tea leaf reading that a tea leaf reading is good for 4 weeks, 4 turns to the bottom. The first turn around the rim, then around the next, and then down the curve of the cup, and then down at the bottom of the cup. I know that is so common among tea leaf readers, four turns to the bottom. And it can also mean that things that have fallen to the bottom can be a little more problematic and dangerous, too. So you really want to, you know, try to read the thing both ways. It's not just that it's more dangerous, but it's also more in the future. And most people say don't get a tea leaf reading but once a week. If you read more than once a week, you're constantly going to be stepping on your old readings, because they are timed. And there's also locational things in tea leaf reading, home and away, you know. So, but that's built in to tea leaf reading. Now, Conjure Man, I know that you do astrology. Timing is the essence of astrology, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, astrology is the divination of time. But I would say this is one of those areas, and we've talked about this a lot, Kat, is one of those frustrating areas we hear when we hear fortune tellers talk about, oh, you can't tell time, you can't deal with time, when in actuality, many divination systems are the reading of time itself. I mean, the kind of oldest forms of divinations really did two things. One, interpret the will of the divine. What is it that the gods are trying to tell us? What is it that we should do? And two, interpret time. Now, whether that was to select a time for a ritual, right? You know, we need to do this thing for a particular harvest, or predict when the flood was going to happen or when the king was going to die. So timing has been built into many, many divination systems. Not all of them. You know, some of them can be a little tricky, for example, scrying, but it still does have timing in it. Geomancy has timing built into the system. The figure that you get at the end of your chart, because geomancy involves the sortilege component, which is the random generation of a series of dots, whether in sand or on paper, or if you're using Rammel dice, you create these figures and then you reconstitute them. You kind of combine them together, and that creates a chart. And the final figure of that chart is known as the Qazi, or the judge. And the judge has, it tells you what time things will happen, because each figure is associated both with time, but also with a planet, as well as with a zodiac sign. So, for example, if you were to get Carcer is the figure of prison, and it's associated with the planet Saturn. So that can tell you that certain timing mechanisms can be tied to Saturn. Saturn moves very slowly. But even in terms of timing, geomancy figure has a particular time associated with it. Carcer means years. So if you ask the question, when will I get married? Cursor might indicate, yeah, it's possible, but it will take years to happen. On the other hand, if you get Cauda Draconis, which is the tail of the dragon, that takes weeks rather than years. So there's different timing associated with different geomantic figures. And similarly with astrology. Astrology has multiple timing mechanisms built into it, first because it is really the study and interpretation of time. But in traditional and medieval and Hellenistic astrology, there was something known as the chronopters or time lords. That is, that everyone's life was guided by a particular planet for a period of time, whether it was years, this was known as the Fardaria, or it was a particular year or month. For example, you are in the year of Mars. So what you can then do is track the transit of Mars, and depending on what aspects it makes over the next few weeks, over the next few months, you could time things. A kind of perfect example of this was just this past month. This past month, almost every astrologer I knew, every astrologer geared towards prediction, I should say, every traditional astrologer pointed out that, hey, Mars in Leo is going to be opposite to Saturn, and it's going to be making a funky square to Uranus and Taurus. There's going to be explosions and fires. That's a prediction technique, and they said it's going to happen in this month of July and end of June. They very precise timing, and guess what happened? We had multiple fires and explosions, whether it was out in the ocean where we had that fucking hell mouth
open up
because of the oil, right? So there's ways of doing timing that's built into these systems. And even the most subjective of divination systems has time built into it because diviners are reading time. Whether they're predicting something or trying to interpret what that time means, you are entering into a difficult month. The next few weeks are going to be a period of sorrow or a period of joy. All of that is tied into fortune telling. So it's one of those deep frustrations I have when I hear tarot readers or any type of reader say, oh, you can't do timing. No, it's built into the system.
Yeah, and certainly if people want timing, I recommend they get astrology for the most precise and also the most personally accurate, because, for instance, there may be a large, you know, thing like wildfire prediction going on, but it may not touch your natal chart and you're going to be okay, right? So those are good things to know. I'm going to bring up one more, and then I'm going to turn this back over to Sister Girl. I have some cigarette trading cards called How to Tell Fortunes. And this is a set put out by Edwards Ringer and Big in England in 1929. It's a set of 25 cards. And there are 6 palmistry cards and 6 tea leaf reading cards and 6 astrology cards. And there are also 6 playing card cards. And this set shows something called the Cross of 15. And the Cross of 15 is a precise way to do timing with playing cards. So first of all, you get rid of all the cards 7 and under. You're just going to work with the higher card numbers. And you're going to put down a what we'd call a significator, whether male or female, dark or light, you know, fair or darker hair and darker skin, based on the suits. You all know what those are. That's your card. And then you go around 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 you put on top of your card. And then you go around again in a circle, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 you put in the center. Anyway, you end up with 15. So 5, 10, and 15 are on top of your character card. Those are your individual character analysis, just the cards number 5, 10, and 15. But the others, the 3 that are above and the 3 that are to the left, deal with the past. One is the recent past, and one is the distant past. And the ones to the right will be the near future and the remote or distant future. And this is the only system of card reading I know that exists specifically and only to produce timed readings, not just as a byproduct. That's what it's there for. It's called the Cross of 15. If you're one of my Patreon patrons, I'll lay it all out for you sooner than later. but it is one of those ideas that, obviously, if this was something so well known in 1929 that it appeared on trading cards in England, right? Trading cards, not a secret mystery of only initiates. why is it forgotten now? And why do people now say, oh, you can't tell the future with cards, right? So obviously people are willfully losing their knowledge, and that's kind of sad. Okay, mm-hmm. So Sister Girl, your turn.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you mentioned how do you decide what timing to use or which cards to look at for timing or whether it's seasonal. Or I usually defer to my intuition, and sometimes, like say, the King of Coins can indicate springtime, or but he also can indicate that it's a matter of timing. It's a matter of time. All things in good time. Like take your time with it. So that there are, you have to decide with your intuition which one applies. Sometimes the sun card, the sun reverse, will say things are just beginning to work out. Also, the sun card in its upright will say you need to take some time away. Maybe you need to take a few days or take a break and take a little vacation. I think it's up to a person's intuition as to when that applies and when it doesn't. But you mentioned something interesting to me. You mentioned, you know, years. When Conjurman Ali mentioned that there is an indication of years time. And that's where we get into difficulty, because there are clients that I'm talking to now, and 2 years ago they were asking for a certain situation, and I didn't see that it would take 2 years, but I saw that it would take a while, and that they were better off to just wait and just bide their time with the situation. But, of course, that's not satisfactory to people. People don't want to just bide their time. They want to have a situation come to fruition. But sometimes it takes time. And so I guess I'd like to know, how do you advise clients when you see that it's going to take years? Or you see that it'll take an extended length of time, and if they should be patient.
Yeah, you know, I there's a few of them that really don't seem to, when people say, oh, well, will this happen to me soon? I usually try to break it down into outcomes of periods of time. In other words, I'll say, look, check back in 3 months. Check back in 1 month, because I'm seeing not much movement here in 3 months, and I don't want to keep you hanging on for 5 years here. I'm not trying to get another reading. You must come to me for another reading, but I'm saying it doesn't look like it's happening in this amount of time, which is significant to you. They're saying, well, I'm going to be moving to Oklahoma in 3 months, and is he going to come with me or not? And I'm like, I'm not seeing it in 3 months, but if you want to check again at monthly intervals, we can look at it again. I try to prepare people sometimes for bad news by telling them I'm not seeing it in the near future. Now, if they say, will I ever fall in love again? And I get nothing. I mean, I just get, nope, you're not going to fall. No one's going to fall in love with you again. I don't like to say to somebody, I say, as far as I can see into the future in this reading, I don't see someone entering your life. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It might be in 5 years or 10 years. Maybe somebody who's married now divorces and all of a sudden appears in your life. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying you cannot rely on a tarot card reading for an absolute yes or no between now and when you turn 102 years old. That's more than a tarot reading can do. It's too much weight to put on one tarot reading.
Right.
Teacup reading, right. 4 weeks. But, you know, but if it was astrology, damn right I could. If it was astrology,
yeah,
I'd say, no, you've got an unaspected Venus. You've got about a 1 in 360 chance here. Good luck. And you better start looking for somebody who's got something where your Venus is real quick, because otherwise you're out of luck, you know? And so that's, you know, talking about astrology as the best forever after reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are, you rightly bring up that most divination have some type of timing built in, but there are differences in the length of time that they can see, right? Astrology is the life over time, so that you can do the whole life, right? Mm-hmm. You can see long-term marriages. You can see long-term prospects. And I agree with you. Tarot has a little bit of a limitation there when it comes to timing. You can still do timing in tarot, and you can be very pinpoint and accurate with those tarot timings. But I always kind of feel that tarot is about 6 months to a year. That's the sense I get. You can do a little bit further than that. You can, but the further you get with tarot, the less precise the timing is. You can still see generalities, in my opinion. Will we be successful in this court case? Yes. Will it take, 6 years or 5 years? A little bit murkier. So that's been my experience with the tarot, that it gets a little murkier the further away it is. But it certainly still can see those generalities. So I always tell people about a year is what tarot can see very, very accurately on. Further than that, it gets a little murky, but we can still get some pretty good answers out of it. And there's also differences in terms of the method that you use when it comes to timing. So something like geomancy, something like astrology, has very precise timing built into it, right? It'll say, okay, when Mars perfects this aspect to Venus, something is going to happen. You can come down to weeks, day, and days even. You can be like in the second week of June or on this particular day, and you'll get it to within a day or two. And it's, historically, we have evidence of that, that the predictions will be like almost to the day perfect. And then there are others that are a little bit more subjective in their timing, but you can still do quite a bit of it. So, for example, candle divination, you can still do really great timing on there, depending on how fast, for example, a candle burns or how fast the wax pours out. That will tell you whether something will happen in a matter of days or weeks versus something that will happen months or years. So people are like, oh, you can't do, timing with candle divination. Of course you can. People
That's
have been
right.
doing it for years. If you've ever
That's
been to
right.
a spiritualist church, you've ever talked to a deacon, they'll tell you, your prayer will be answered in the next few weeks. Your prayer will be answered in a few months. How can they tell? By the burn of that candle. So there is a difference in methodology there that will also produce differences in understanding of time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I want to make a shout out to Grateful Diana, who notes there's a spread called Three Phases of Time, consisting of 15 cards on page 76 of Classic Tarot Spreads by Sandor Conrad. A very good book, by the way. Thank you for mentioning that, Grateful Diana. That's really, really good. Now, I'm going to get to pendulum reading. Pendulum reading, people, they only yes, no. It only tells you yes, no. Actually, you can use pendulum reading because it's a method of dowsing by counting off the number of swings. And many people use pendulum dowsing and other forms of dowsing to measure how deep a water well is. They just start counting by feet or by yards or by meters, whatever they're going to go, 1, 2, 3, and they'll wait till they get a twitch on the pendulum. The same can be done with timing with a pendulum, and you just sit there and hold it, and you say, will this happen in 1 month? Will it happen in 2 months?
Yes.
Will it happen in 3 months? Will it happen in 4? You just keep going, and whoop, it'll go. It'll tell you when it's time, and the pendulum will go. Many pendulum dowsers use this for timing. It is not well known among those who think of pendulums as some kind of a, little mystico-spiritual, boy, I've got a cute pendulum, but they're not dowsers. But dowsers all know about it.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention, if something is going to take a long time, usually I'll do a spread, and if the spread doesn't close with an major arcana card, and just I keep throwing cards and I keep throwing cards and there's no major cards coming out, then for me, that's a sign that this is going to take a long time. There's no clear answer here. Also, the Chariot reverse. If I get the Chariot reverse, that's the only reversal I really read. I get the Chariot reverse, that lets me know that this result is going to take a longer time than you are willing to wait.
There are a few of these in which the time is relative also. For instance, the Three of Wands shows the man who has sent the three little treasure ships out, and they don't come back until sunset. Now, on the modern U.S. Game Systems cards, it looks like the same, almost the same yellow as the card of the Magician would have behind her, or the Queen of Pentacles. But on the originals, that was a mustard yellow. It was a sunset yellow, and the water is all golden colored on, you know, on the bay where the ships come in. So that is relates to help comes at the last minute. In other words, it's about timing, but it doesn't give you a time. It just gives you a relative time. You will almost have given up when this one comes true. And that is why some people will say 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, but many people don't like to hear 3 years. And so over the years, I have noticed when I was taught it's 3 months, probably 3 years, I was got a lot of kick clients. It can't be 3 years. Well, yes, it can. The guy's clothes are all torn. He was the magician. His clothes are all torn and patched. This does not happen overnight, right, that your clothes get all torn and patched. And now it's sunset. But they want to hear, oh, well, it'll be 3 days. It's just a three. And so I've heard readers modify these very old traditional ways of reading the tarot into being what I call crowd pleasers or client pleasing readings. And they shouldn't.
Oh. And another thing, the emperor can indicate timing. The emperor can indicate that you need to set schedule, that you need to create timing around the situation. The emperor might say, this person is set in their ways, so it's going to take time. But it can definitely be. But the emperor says it's a timing thing. It's you need to either create a schedule, you need to follow a schedule, or it will be on schedule.
Timing is also built into any type of reading that involves words. So, for example, bibliomancy. The Bible has timing in it. It'll tell you certain verses will very, very clearly indicate that certain things will happen at certain times. So, for example, Zechariah 10, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who sends a thunderstorm. He gives showers of rain to all people and plants of the field to everyone. Ah, springtime, right? So that gives you an indication of time right there. So there's certain divination systems that you can do it right then. And I've known plenty of people who have asked not just, will I get married? And then opened up the Bible to a verse. But when will I get married? And open up to a verse. And the Bible will give an answer. Sometimes it may not be the answer you want to hear. It may not be like, oh, it's happening next month. But it's very, very great. Bibliomancy is fantastic for timing. You can absolutely ask when something will happen, and the verses will indicate. And they can indicate that something will happen fast. If the Lord is moving quickly, right? The Lord is moving fast in that verse. Then you've got an answer that it's going to happen fast. If it says there's a time and a season for everything, right? Ecclesiastes,
right.
Okay, you might need to take a breath. You might maybe wait a little bit, or it might be very clear, right? It might mention autumn or winter or springtime so that you can ask timing of the Bible.
Right, and it came to pass in the 10th year that
the
Bible is filled with that sort of stuff. And you tell that to somebody, it came to pass in the 10th year, and they're like, I'm going to another reader. I don't want that. But that's what you got. And that's, you know, it is important to understand that readers walk a tightrope between pleasing clients and thereby having clients and speaking truth, and maybe losing clients. I have one client, and I'm not going to call her name, but she asks me about a situation, it's been ongoing for a while. She calls regularly, asks me, and so how's the situation going now? And I say, well, not so good. She goes, I don't want to hear it. She literally says to me, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now, right? That was the cards I got. So I say, well, let's talk about another question then. But, you know, it's people want a yes man, yes woman, yes person.
Right, right.
And timing can be a problematic issue for some people. And it's very sad for me when someone says, you know, will I ever find love? And the cards are like saying, not in this reading, you're not. And what are you going to do? You know, I usually kick kick the ball down the street one more kick. I say go to an astrologer or hire me as an astrologer, because I don't want to say no forever. But an astrologer, there's no forever no. You just go, there are some really problematic chart things that would say it would be very unlikely for you to have a lover in your life, but it's not impossible. I used to do this. I'd get so hung up on trying to please my clients, my astrology clients. I'd sit there and do dozens, and Ollie, this is in the day before, you know, computers. I'd sit and draw up dozens of charts to try to find a date that someone might have been born on who would offset their deficits. And who would be of marriageable age to them, right? I'd spend hours on it. And I'd say, okay, now, if you can just find someone born September 16th, 1949, that person, and they're going, how am I going to find him? I said, that's your problem. I just found them for you if you find them. And I had one success, only one that I know of. This gal put an ad in one of the underground hippie newspapers. I'm looking for somebody born on such and such a date. Just want to meet over coffee, you know, maybe have a date. They met. It worked. I was
motivated. Wow. That is fantastic.
But the thing is, I want perfection in my astrological readings. I want everyone to go away happy. Boy, is it hard to make people happy in astrological readings if their chart is really screwed up, you know?
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why people can be uncomfortable with timing is that timing grounds the prediction in reality. It goes from being a sort of vague thing that may happen at some point to, now we're dealing with fate. It is going to happen. And I do want to build in some level of agency here and note that there's a reason we do magic, is that when the timing doesn't look the way that we want, then we can try to push things a little bit in a more favorable direction. If, for example, it says your chance of getting married is very unlikely in the next 5 years, we can go, okay, well, now we're going to light some marriage candles. We're going to light some love me candles. We're going to do some doll baby work. We're going to do some attraction work. We're going to do some look me over work. We're going to do something to maybe speed things up. So I do want to build that level of agency, that level of hope in, that timing is not always fixed, that even in astrology, which is probably the most grounded in fate, the most like, this is going to happen. even there, there's an element of wiggle room with talismanic magic and astrological remediation and all sorts of things to kind of address things. But I think the fear of timing is that it grounds that prediction. But it is also simultaneously, as much as it sounds like, you know, pessimistic or you're doomed or whatnot, there's a level of empowerment. When you know something is going to happen over the next 3 months, that's what helps you build your strategy. That's what helps you build and prepare for it. I mean, I would much rather know whether something is or isn't going to happen and when it's going to happen so that this old Taurian can deal with it. And prepare for it. And so, okay, I'm going to build the battlement. I'm going to build my battle strategy. I'm going to deal with this thing head on. So I'm very clear about this. Like if I can tell a client, hey, the month of May is going to be a very lean month for you. Finances are going to be bad. You're going to have an unexpected car expense. That's not me saying, oh, shit, May fucking sucks. That's me saying, okay, let's prepare for May. Let's squirrel away that money, so that when May comes around, you're ready for it. You're ready for those expenses.
Right.
You're ready for those difficulties. So timing can be very, very empowering. It can help you to really prepare for your future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, there's also the good part of this, too. Don't lie to clients and say, oh, yes, you will find love. But if you do see that love is coming in, try to put a timing on it. I've had many, many, many successes with this where I say, look, it looks like by September or it looks like by May or whatever, you will find love. And I'll tell you, Conjure Man, in doing readings on this show, is very bold about giving timing compared to some of the people who read on this show. And I am too. But it's very gratifying when the client comes back and says, yes, you were right. I did find love. I did get the job. I did get pregnant. Whatever it was they were asking about. And your timing helped them prepare for something good as well as something bad. And also, as we are, most of us, root workers, or at least magical counselors, as well as readers, we can say, look, the way to ameliorate the situation is to do this. The way to prepare for this is to do that. If nothing else, you know, say this psalm, light this candle. But let's go a little deeper into it if they want to and give them some root work advice, because that often will help them navigate. Just knowing the timing may not be all they need to know. They may need to know how to really get through a situation. And always mention, will they need helpers? Always mention, are they being opposed by somebody? You know, those are important things to know as well as timing.
Well, it's also people just, it's hard to hear that it won't happen now. I think when people hear that, they get nervous. They think if they have to wait, that means it won't happen, and that's not what it means.
And we should note, I should say that for me in particular, and I'm sure this is true for many people, one of the things that timing has done in divination is that it has allowed me to understand life as a rhythm, life as a flow. And that really, in turn, has a great deal of impact on spellcasting and magical work. When you start to understand the rhythm and flow of life, when you start to understand the rhythm and flow of which, you know, the path goes through, life becomes more intentional and less chaotic and less sort of random. Things kind of ebb, things flow. And this is the core of what divination is really about, is trying to help people understand that there is an ebb and flow in life, that life has a sort of path that unfolds. And when you're working with that rhythm, even when that rhythm is sort of difficult, right? Like when you have a difficult transit or the card you pulled is the Tower, right? It's difficult, but you're in rhythm with it. You understand why it's happening. You know how to kind of ride that wave. Then suddenly, even in those darkest moments, even in those most difficult moments, you have more control. I say this to people all the time about, I think, one of the most overblown things that the internet talks about, Mercury in retrograde. No one is saying Mercury in retrograde isn't serious, but good God, you would think that the world was collapsing every time Mercury went into retrograde. Right? Never mind the fact that Mercury goes into retrograde several times a year. And people are out there, like, hiding in their caves because Mercury has gone into retrograde. That's not what it's about. When planets go into retrograde, that's not what you were supposed to do. The point was you're supposed to learn, and this, my Californian side is really going to come out here, but you're supposed to learn to ride the wave. If you've ever been out kind of past where the wave crashes, where it starts to crash, and you just sort of kind of bob up and down, and you feel when that wave is coming, and you just kind of go with it. And all of a sudden, the water and you are in tune. You are aligned with one another. Yeah, the wave is crashing and it's striking up against the stones, but you're just kind of bobbing up and down. You're just kind of flowing up and down. And that's when you've got things going. So Mercury goes into retrograde. You know your email is going to get lost. You know your computer is going to act funky, but you're not going to run around with your hair on fire. It's just part of the rhythm of life. You go, okay, Mercury's in retrograde. I know how to deal with this. I know what's going on. Similarly with tarot readings. If tarot reading says, hey, you're going to be having some fights in your relationship over the next summer, you can be in the rhythm of that. You can understand, okay, things are going to be tense, but that doesn't mean, oh, my relationship is going to come to an end and it's the end of the world for me. No. So I think this is what timing does. Timing allows you to go with the flow, to move with the flow, to move with the rhythm, and to find that wiggle room when you can make the flow work for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I gotta make a little response here to Doc Murphy, who mentioned that Venus was exactly conjunct Mars last week. And and I just had to say, Venus was conjunct Mars, and I finished the book Down Home Sex Magic.
Oh, wow.
And Venus, right, and Venus was conjunct Mars at, you know, like 23 Leo. And my own natal Venus conjunct Mars is at like 23 Aries, which
oh,
is
wow.
trine, that Venus conjunct Mars. Just saying. Now,
wow.
could I have predicted I would write that book and have it finished on that date? Yeah, I could have.
Yeah.
I was too busy
yeah.
writing.
That's
no,
so good.
It
That's
was,
so
the timing was the timing was perfect. And that is when you see those kind of things happen. That's why, again, I'm just not trying to, you know, like push astrology as the best system for timing, but boy, you can't get better than that one. That was, you know, Cousin Joshua says impeccable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Impeccable is the right word. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's too funny. Now we're gonna call this book Down Home Sex Magic, the Venus Conjunct Mars book.
Yes. Well, that's what it's about. Wait till you read it. It's pretty. People, or I already had one proofreader. Literally, I had one proofreader bail and say they didn't want their name on the book as a proofreader because it mentioned menstrual blood.
Okay.
Too much. Too much. And but remember, I've got Venus conjunct Mars in Aries. Menstrual blood. Got it? Iron, blood, Mars, menstrual, Venus, nana.
There you go.
You know, of course I had to write a book about menstrual blood. Why shouldn't I? Anyway.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah. So, but you know, the one other thing about this, I'm just here to encourage readers, and I really want to thank you too, Sister Girl, for encouraging readers to take the bull by the horns, as it were.
Yes.
If someone asks you about timing and you feel insecure as a reader, and we talk to a lot of, and we get a lot of listeners in the archive who are learning to be professional readers. If you feel insecure about giving people timing, work out one of the systems that you can rely on, whether it's a mechanical sortilage like the cross of 15 or the counting of a pendulum, which isn't sortilage. I mean, it goes from sortilage to, you know, spirit-led to, you know, astrological. Whatever systems feel right for you, you need to have some fallback system of timing, possibly independent of your system of divination. Now, just as another example, I Ching has changing lines. If someone says, when will this happen? Very often, what Conjurman was saying earlier about seasonality will come up in the changing lines. And it'll talk about a melon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's going to be summer or fall. Or it'll talk about a mulberry shoot. Well, you know, that's going to be spring.
Mm-hmm.
It'll talk about, you know, a crane calling in the shade. That's going to be spring when the cranes are mating. The I Ching has an awful lot to do with seasons. And, of course, the Bagua, where the trigrams are on, are all associated with seasons and also with directionality of the compass points. And so the changing lines in I Ching are another system that really work to pinpoint time and space.
What a
wow.
fun topic.
Okay, well, we barely touched on it. And Jamé said, when will we have a Lucky Mojo book on this topic? I don't know when. It's in the cards. All right. Now we're going to turn this over to our Papa Newt, dear old Papa Newt, and he's going to take it away.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit HoodooPsychics.com, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at CrystalSilenceLeague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take today's client. And today's client is calling in from area code 909 in California. This is Anonymous. Anonymous, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you clearly. Thank you. And now it looks like that you have had a reading in the past with Conchobana Lee on a completely different topic, but you have been doing readings for yourself on this current situation, and you are doing some candle magic. Is that correct?
Yes.
Certainly. And Anonymous writes, my ex-wife has made serious allegations against me concerning my daughter, which are completely false. The subject matter is very serious and would have life-changing consequences if anything came of it. I have acquired a lawyer and have a court date in mid-August. In the meantime, I am very concerned for my daughter and for the effect this could have on my life going forward. What do I need to know about the situation, and what can I do to mitigate it, the damage? Turn back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, I think what we're going to do is I will do the first reading. Sister Girl will do the second reading, and Conjure Man is going to give you some root work. This sounds pretty bad. And we'll see what's going on with this. And I'm going to ask a few questions. Anonymous, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm an Aries.
You're an Aries. And do I know you?
I don't believe that you and I have spoken before.
Okay, great. Because there's someone else with that same area code I know who is also an Aries. And I was thinking, maybe you're that person. But you didn't sound like that person. So, okay, great. All right, I'm going to put, oh, dear. Okay, we got a bad card to start off with, and that card is the Five of Cups. So Five of Cups is a card of ruination. It shows a ruined castle across a river. It cannot be repaired. There are three spilled cups, and I would assume there is only your ex, your daughter, and you involved in this. Have you moved on to another relationship, or are you still in the middle of a battle, a custody battle with your ex?
I've already been through a custody battle with my ex, and I do have a new partner, which has come up in the last month or so, actually the last couple months.
Okay, because I see here three spilled cups, and two of them are spilling red wine, which is female, it's menstrual blood, you know, that shows female, and one is spilling white wine, which would be male, it's semen. Behind this grieving person, there are two cups unspilled, and that would indicate to me that you can go on with a new partner. This is a really bad card, and it shows that events of the past are haunting you. This is sometimes called the curse from across the sea, the curse from the past. This is not going to be easy, and this ex is basically trying very hard to ruin things worse than they're already ruined. Really bad card. I just cannot stress it enough. The reason for the anger, the accusations, and so forth is grief also. Whatever caused the breakup and whatever happened there, there's an inability to move on. And I really see this as a very bad card. So I'm just warning you, you may be in for a difficult time. The next card is a card that tells me you will need a helper. Do you have a good lawyer?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because this card is the card that shows someone who can help you. And it is a card that is called the Knight of Wands. And I usually call this card a lawyer, a doctor, could be a social worker, could be any kind of person who, you know, hey, if you're learning how to crochet, this is a master crocheter who teaches you how to crochet. It's not any one occupation. It's someone who comes to help. And I think if you have a good lawyer, this will be what you need. Follow the lawyer's instructions. If that lawyer doesn't serve you as well as you need, get another one, because this is the helper who comes to save the day. It is a hopeful card, but it is not the end of the situation, unfortunately. I believe that your ex is going to keep on trying. And it's not a card that shows an end to the situation soon, because the card is the Nine of Swords. And this is the card of someone waking up crying and in a very dark place. And they're in a single bed. They have an image of people sword fighting carved on the side of the bed. It's often said that this figure is the same person as in the Five of Cups. It looks like the same person. In both cases, the person has covered their face. I think that your ex has a mental hang-up. Let's just put it that way. Has she moved on to another relationship?
Yes, she has.
Okay. She's very twisted. She has something wrong with her mentally. The Nine of Swords is anxiety. It also may be she's trying to cause you anxiety. And I would say that your chances here are not, I don't see a great outcome, at least on the first go-round here. You need this helper. This is going to worry you for a while. Now, we were talking about timing, and the number is nine. And so I'm asking myself, is it 9 months that before this gets settled out? How old is the child?
She's five.
Five, yeah. Yeah. I'm just seeing this is not going to end soon. I'm really feeling that you have a tough road ahead of you. And I wish I could say, I'm not here to do the root work, but I would say what the root work you're going to want will be involved with support and also testimonials from friends, because the Nine of Swords, if the person in the bed would just take their hands away from their eyes and look, they have this friendship quilt. There are many friends who will help. There are roses. There are all the signs of the zodiac embroidered on the quilt. And it says, you must have a social network that will stand by you, because you're going to really need it, and that's going to be very important. Don't let yourself be just driven into a corner and hounded, by this ex. Have your crew come back, and not just family. It needs to be friends as well. So that's what I'm seeing here. Good luck. Now we're going to have Sister Girl read for you.
All right. Well, I would like to say that this will work out better than you think. Not right away, but it will work out better than you think. And the reason I say that is the first card out is the Ace of Coins. And the Ace of Coins is the card saying that things will work out better than you think they will. However, the next card out is the Wheel of Fortune. And the Wheel of Fortune is always a tricky card, because it's saying that things are unclear. It's unclear. Mm-hmm. Things are moving, but we don't know where they're going. So that's something that would, if you're feeling uneasy or uncertain or you don't know what's happening, that would explain it to me why, you just maybe don't know what's going to happen or what's going on. And you can't right now, because that Wheel of Fortune is there. But the Wheel of Fortune also says to me that this is something that you are were destined to go through, so it's just you just have to get through this. Let me ask you, is your lawyer a woman?
No.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's neither here nor there. I'm getting the High Priestess with her back to me. So that would, if your lawyer's not a woman advising you, then I would say, don't talk too many people about this. Keep it close to the vest. Just keep it with the people that need to know. There is a need to look at every angle of the situation, because the Ten of Swords comes out at the very top of the spread, and the Ten of Swords is pictured here. There's a man looking down at a suit of armor with 10 swords in it. Now, we don't know if he's still in the armor and his spirit is looking down on the armor and trying to figure out what happened, or if it's somebody who went off and came back and found these swords in the armor and doesn't know why they got there. And behind him, the sun is eclipsed. Now, the message here is just because the sun is eclipsed doesn't mean it's not shining. Okay? So just because it's dark right now doesn't mean the sun's not there. Okay? So that also is an indication that there may be some, that this can work out better than you think or better than it seems right now.
Okay.
And the sixth, but I do agree with Ms. Pat that it's going to be, you got the Six of Swords, which is telling me it's going to be six miles of bad roads. It's going to be difficult. And then I get the Nine of Wands, which is telling me it's going to be so difficult that it might feel like you're mentally unwell. It might really get to you mentally. I see here the Five of Coins, which is telling me compromise. There is a compromise to be had here. I think your lawyer is going to seek compromise, or that is what is needed. There is a matter of cost here. The Ten of Wands is telling you that you'll feel overburdened with cost. Is your ex seeking a new custody agreement or a new support, more money to be given?
She didn't say anything about money in what she had filed, but she is trying to have full custody without me having any visitation rights, which is
right.
The judge granted that until my next hearing.
Right. Well, I think there is going to be some your lawyer. I do agree with Ms. Scott that your lawyer is very important, because your lawyer, I do believe your lawyer can come up with some kind of compromise. It may not be a traditional agreement, but there's some kind of compromise that will come out, because the Hierophant in reverse here is telling me if there's an agreement, but it's not a traditional agreement. And things will change. With the Death card, there will be a positive change, and you'll start to see with the sun here, the sun reversed, you will start to see things will begin to turn around, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while, so try to be as good to yourself as you can during that time.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, those were also some pretty heavy cards, and we're going to turn this over to Conjurman, but I want to say one more thing before we go to the root work, which is that it is imperative that you don't let this get you down. If you are not guilty of what is charged, you have to fight like hell. If you are guilty, let it go, because the cards are really harsh against you right now. But if you're going through hell, keep going, says Winston Churchill, as quoted by Doc Murphy. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman.
Yeah, Ms. Cat is your usual hoodoo psychic here. She really almost took word for word my first sentence that I was going to say to you. Anonymous, you're in a very difficult situation. This is dreadful and difficult, and you are currently in a battle, and that's the only way that you can view it. But when you are in a battle, the key to the success of the battle is that you must keep your cool, and you must draw upon those inner reserves of strength. You can't allow yourself to fall into a place of desperation where you're sort of flailing, because that is going to make the situation worse for you. A sort of attack has been made, and you need to be able to address it calmly and effectively. So I'm going to give you some root work in order to address that. There's going to be too much, and I think I remember – I'm not as encyclopedic in my memory as Miss Cat is when it comes to clients. She's brilliant when it comes to this. But I think I remember you. I did a natal chart. I did an astrology reading for you, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then some work concerning my business.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I know exactly who you are now. I know exactly. And you specifically asked about your relationship with your child. The good news is that you will have a relationship with your child, whatever the sort of outcome will be, whatever restrictions are made, the long term, that is the sort of future outlook, even as the immediate is getting rocky, is that there's still going to be a connection there and still hope, whatever the outcome is, to have that relationship. So hold on to that. Now, here's what I would recommend for you. First and foremost, take a photo of your ex. write their name on it. Take a big marker, like a Sharpie, cross out their eyes and their mouth. Then I want you to take some black string and you're going to wrap up this photo of theirs. I don't want you to fold it. I want you to kind of roll it and then wrap it so that you're kind of rolling the string. And as you're doing this, I want you to recite Psalm 35 and Psalm 37. Do this until it's all wrapped up and you've got this nice little thread bundle, if you will. Place this on top of aluminum foil with the mirror side kind of up. You're going to trap it in a mirror, if you will. You're going to place that in the aluminum foil. You're going to douse it with lemons, alum, and salt, nice and bitter, to pucker up her mouth, to shut her tongue up. You're going to wrap the aluminum foil up nice and carefully so you don't spill anything, and you're going to place this into the freezer. This will limit her ability to harm you. It will freeze her ability to work against you. It will remove whatever she's doing. It will turn it against her. In particular, it will work against her ability to speak against you, to level those accusations against you. Now, once you've done that, now you've dealt with your enemy, I want you to take some Florida wash or Florida water and just kind of wash your hands with it, get the lemony scent out, whatnot. You might consider doing some type of full-on bath. I would recommend uncrossing bath in general. It's just good. Some type of negativity is being thrown your way. It doesn't even have to be magical on her nature. In fact, if I remember correctly, there may be a religious difference there that would between you two. So I don't think she may be working magic, but she may be praying against you. Better safe than sorry. Do some uncrossing bath. Then, 9 days before the court case, ideally 9 days, I want you to get a brown candle, place it into a saucer, light this brown candle, and in a ring, pour honey around it. Take Little John to chew, break off a little piece of this, and place this into your mouth. Some people like softening Little John to chew. It's a little spicy. I actually think the spice is supposed to be there. It should burn a little bit. It should be a little bit spicy. That's good. Put it in your mouth. By light of this candle, pray. Ask that the truth be revealed. You've got to speak from a righteous heart. Speak about your suffering. The heat in your mouth will actually amplify this. Oh, Lord, look upon my suffering and take pity. This wrong must be righted. An injustice has been done. A falsehood has been spoken. Move quickly to end this pain. By light of this fire, speak that righteous, okay? Now, if you're in the wrong, if there's some element that you are guilty of, then I want you to also include sumac with that honey. So when you pour out that ring of honey, I want you to also put that sumac, and your prayer should be more about mercy. You're going to spit that Little John to chew into a bowl, and then you're going to repeat for 9 days with another piece of Little John to chew. On the last day, take all the little pieces of the Little John to chew that you spit out, grind them into a powder along with court case powder and dirt, and sprinkle that in the courthouse that you're going to meet. If you're not going to meet in a courthouse, sprinkle it on any type of paper that you all will be touching or that the courts will be dealing with. That's my recommendation for you. I wish you all the best. Have a magical coach or guide as well through this process.
Wow.
And I would say if you have to spend any more money, go ahead and either get a loan or send the money for the lawyer because you may need it.
Yes, good advice, very much good advice. All right, well, we wish you all the best, Anonymous, and we hope things work out for you.
All the best.
Stay in touch, and you can call back again if you need more guidance or advice later. So I believe that now we're going to have the fabulous Outer Space Quartet playing on their outer space banjos. Here we go.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 1 to 2. and Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 7 to 8. All times specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with our special guest, Sister Girl of SisterGirlConjure.com in Los Angeles, California. Take it away, Sister Girl.
Okay, so this spell is in two parts. It requires a bath and also some candle work. And what this is intended to do is to create communication in your life, either from somebody specific that you want to hear from, or to give you new opportunities for social life, to communicate with other individuals, you know, the new people that you're looking for. So I want you to take a bath with dried yarrow, Y-A-R-R-O-W, that's an herb, and parsley. You're going to add those herbs to a hot bath, and you're going to bathe, and you're going to use honey as your soap. So instead of using soap or body gel, you're going to use honey. And while you're soaking in the bath, you're going to stay in there for 10 to 15 minutes and wash yourself with the honey and concentrate on the problem that you're having, whether it's a specific relationship or whether it's just your desire for a new relationship. And then after you're finished soaking for about 15 minutes, you're going to let the bath water run out, rinse the tub with cool water, and imagine all your problems going down the drain. Next, I want you to get two glass-encased 7-day candles. One is going to be yellow, and that's going to be representing you. And then the other candle is going to be a blue candle, and that's going to be representing the other person or communication. So you're going to dress the yellow candle with a pinch of dried rose petals, a pinch of powdered sugar, and 3 drops of cumin oil. And then you're going to dress the blue candle with a pinch of ground coffee, a pinch of ground Drama Conqueror root, and 3 drops of cumin oil. Then you're going to take a pinch of magnetic sand, and you're going to sprinkle it over each candle. Now, on these candles, on the yellow one, which represents you, you're going to take a picture of you, and you're going to write the other person's name, if it's a specific person. You're going to write the other person's name all over the picture, and then you're going to put your birthday at the bottom and tape it or glue it to the candle. Now, with the blue candle, you're going to take the other person's picture. You're going to write your name all over their picture, and then you're going to put their birth date at the bottom of the picture, and then you're going to tape it or glue it. Now, if this is not for a specific person, if this is for just a new experience or new love, I want you to take a piece of brown paper and write new love or new friends 9 times on the brown piece of paper and tape it to that blue candle. Then you're going to light the candles, light the yellow candle first, and then light the blue candle. And then you're going to say the 23rd Psalm over that candle and the Our Father. And then you're just going to let it burn down, and you should get result. You should see some kind of movement, some kind of change within 2 weeks, no longer than 2 months.
Wow.
And that's it.
That is really
fun. Wow.
That's a very neat spell. I love the way you flip it, you know, with the name, and you know what I'm saying? It's cool. It's really neat the way you flipped it. So that each one has to come to the other. That's really nice. Beautiful spell work. The other thing I would add, if there's anything I would add to it, and I really can't think of much to add to it, is some people use tobacco to get someone to contact you. Now, tobacco is toxic, but it does have a long history of use in that regard. So if you're not opposed to the use of tobacco, you could add it. Another thing is, if you are not opposed to the smoke of tobacco. Some people will just waft a little tobacco smoke over it. But be cautious and careful. Tobacco is addictive. It causes lung cancer. And yet, it really does have this reputation of drawing people to you. So that's the only thing I would say. But, you know, if you have asthma or if you have had a tobacco addiction that you kicked, don't try it, okay?
Yeah, the coffee is to make people wake up and smell the coffee. The magnetic band is to draw. Mm. And also the John the Conqueror is to kind of be is to kind of have power over the situation.
Yeah. And you know, I think the use of tobacco in this kind of spells comes out of Native American culture, where tobacco is used to call spirits, but it can also be used to call people. And I've had some good luck with it. I don't smoke tobacco, and I never have, but I was once given this idea to take a cigarette. This is before all of the Caribbean people came to the U.S. and talked about cigars. This was just back in the day. It was a cigarette, a Camel cigarette, unfiltered. and you were supposed to go out to your mailbox and light the cigarette and then just wave the cigarette in your mailbox and wait for the letter to arrive.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. An old one.
That's very cool.
I don't know. I guess a Camel because they walk across the desert. I don't know why it was a Camel, but it was a Camel, not a Chesterfield, not a Marlboro. Camel cigarette.
If I'm going to use tobacco, I'm going to put it. I forgot who where I got this from. It was some Lucky Mojo thing where you will put tobacco and dragon's blood together on a hot coal for incense, and then you'll stand over it and you'll fumigate yourself with it.
Yes, that is another old one, dragon's blood and tobacco, And there's a few like that. But what you've done is excellent. Like I said, it doesn't need the tobacco because it's got the magnetic sand and the coffee.
Yeah.
And that's really, really good. And
that is a really cool combination of coffee and magnetic. I hadn't even considered that. Just beautiful, beautiful combination.
Yeah, it is very cool. Very, very cool. I've been thinking a lot lately, and maybe this is the time to talk about it. We've been putting out so many free spells in this radio show for so many years, and I'm curious if people think we should do a book of the free spells from the radio show. Kind of sort them by what type they were. Hire someone to transcribe them. God knows. Some of them we have in text, the way you sent yours in. Some of them, the older ones, people just spoke them, and we'd have to have someone transcribe them. Think about it, folks.
That's a great idea.
I think if you'd like such a book, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour Book of Free Spells, only they won't be free if they become a book.
Compendium.
The formerly free spells. All right, I hear our music, and that means it's time for Papa Newt to break the land speed record. Go ahead, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjureman, and thank you, Sister Girl at SisterGirlConjure.com in Los Angeles for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Miss Robin from RobinMojo.com, and she will be bringing us the topic on the dangers of divination. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. And Conjure Man at ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Log Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive by LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. You broke the land speed record again. And everyone's going, go, Papa Newt. Go, Papa
what
Newt.
A pro. What a pro.
And I think it's interesting. Next week, we're going to have Ms. Robin on the dangers of divination. So from the sublime to the scary. Okay? Yeah. Well, this is going to be a very interesting show following that one, or vice versa. Okay, time, and then after that comes the Oracle Hour. Boy, it's all divination all the time. And I just heard Cousin Joshua say he's indexed the radio shows by date, speaker, and topic, and created a database of tarot cards. What? Cousin Joshua, what? 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 And he has transcribed only 20 readings at this point. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good night. Thank you, Cousin Joshua.